If you would turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Hey, Jonathan, do you have that other slide about stress? No? There you go. Everybody take a look at this little thing that Randy found the other day. He sent to me. Stressed. His dessert spelled backwards. Gotta love it. You gotta love it. Right? And so, you know what? Our stress level is determined by our perception of what's going on in our life. Amen? And so, God has given us the ability to feel. How many of you guys feel? Raise your hand if you feel. Some of us more than we want to feel sometimes. Sometimes around this time of year, our feelings, our spidey senses are a little bit overwhelmed, right? With things that we've got to go to and everything else. There was a little boy and a little girl, they were singing their favorite Christmas carol at church on Sunday. And the boy concluded Silent Night with the words, "Sleep in heavenly beans." All right? And his sister was going, "No, it's not heavenly beans, it's heavenly peas."
Peas.
and he was like, so, you know, so for some of us, sometimes before the Christmas season is over with, it might as well be beans or peas because there's not a whole lot of peace, right? And so this morning, I want to give you just some fundamentals, some meat and potatoes on how to de-stress your Christmas holiday. You ready for that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you so much that you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, in you, we can find our rest and our strength. Lord, when chaos is going around us, when our Christmas list is beyond what we can afford, when everything else is going crazy in our life, you are still there. You are our refuge and our hiding place. I thank you, Lord, that no matter what happens in our life, you have promised your children peace. And so, Father, this morning, we put our focus on you, Lord. Steadfast, complete peace, and focus on you. Father, I love you so much. You are amazing, God. And I thank you, Lord, for open ears and open spirits this morning to receive and to apply your word. Holy Spirit, I thank you for bringing revelation to each and every heart, each and every spirit this morning as I preach your word. I pray, Lord, that your anointing would rest upon me to speak correctly so that I can rightly divide the word of truth this morning. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you that you are indeed the reason for this wonderful season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I have made a list of things that lend a hand to our stress level. And whenever you hear anything that makes your stress level go up, would you please just raise your hand and put it down? It's kind of like a red button, all right? Yep. That's me, all right? So, here we go. I think they're trying to shout me down and preach over me. I think I hear my kid in there. That's all right. Stressed out. Anyway, okay, all right, here we go. Ready? All right, when you hear something that stresses you out, just raise your hand. Some of you probably just keep your hands up, right? I ain't started yet. Some of you guys came in with your hands up. I'm there, Pastor. I'm there. Give me the meat, brother. Give me the meat. Okay, here we go. Shopping for gifts. Getting to all the parties. Putting up the decorations. Cooking meals. Buying a tree. Putting up the tree. Fighting traffic. Ron, you're probably thinking, this is nothing. People get run over every day where you're at. Having enough money to buy gifts. Yeah. fighting or figuring out when to celebrate at both sets of parents' house without offending the other. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, gaining weight. I don't worry about that a bit. I'm sorry. Hey, you know what? If you count calories, it just ruins the fun. You know what I'm saying? So don't count calories. Just eat. Just eat for the love of God. Just eat. See, some of you guys are raising your hand at what I'm saying. Sending out Christmas cards. Cleaning the house. There we go. Forgetting someone for whom you should have purchased a gift for. Oh, that stresses people out right there. Facing relatives you don't get along with. There we go. Here we go. Dealing with Christmas lights that won't work. Dealing with snow blowers that won't work. Not having a snow blower. Oh, man. You know what? 3 weeks ago, I had my snow blower tip-top shape. I was proud of myself. Got out there, sucked out the old gas, put new gas in there. Made sure the oil was good, lubed up everything, cranked it up, ran great. Snowed that heavy snow, not this past snow, but that slushy stuff. Got out there and I pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled. And I pushed on that button for 15 minutes and it would not start. Yeah, your pastor was upset. And then I called Christian. I said, come on out here and grab that shovel with your name on it. All right, missing loved ones who passed away. Raise my hand on that one. So, in all these things, do you kind of feel that stress level building up just a little bit? All the chaos of what we call Christmas is upon us. And when you compile a list like that, like this, it's easy to see why Christmas is a major period of increased stress for people. You can see why that all of that, no one can find the joy in Christmas because they're so full of stuff that they have forgotten to celebrate the birth. And we need to not be hung up so much on stuff, but be focused upon the birth. The originator, the core, the center of what Christmas is all about. It's about a child, it's about a son, it's about a Savior who came, who died for us. Now, Jesus stopped by a lady's house one time. And if we look at that in Luke chapter 10, I want to show you some stuff that Jesus has to say about this crazy season we call Christmas. Luke chapter 10, we'll start verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, Jesus said, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus said, we need to focus on one thing that is needed. One thing that is needed. So, here's the scene. Martha is hosting Jesus. How many of you guys would like to host Jesus? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would be scary. I mean, it would be awesome. Everybody's having their hands going up. I don't know. But just imagine, you get a call or a text and said, Jesus is coming to your house for dinner. I mean, we would do everything we possibly could to make our house presentable and shove everything in the closet and under the under the beds as much as we possibly could, right? Jesus would know it anyway, wouldn't he? See, I know your junk's in the closet, you know. You can't get away with anything. And so here, Martha, now let me say this. Martha is well-intentioned. Turn to your neighbor and said, Martha is well-intentioned. She was doing what she was supposed to do. She was preparing a meal. She was cleaning the house. She was getting all the preparations done. She was doing everything she was supposed to do to be a good host and doing all of those things. But her sister, Mary, she were going in and out. Let's just say they were going in and out of the rooms. And Mary got tired of listening to half of what Jesus was saying to his disciples. And so she just decided to just put her stuff down, put the decorations down. Put the lights that won't work down. Put the tree decorations down and sit at Jesus' feet. And what happened was is that Martha, for about 5 minutes, didn't even know Mary was gone because she was crazy busy. And then she was like, hey, what are you doing sitting there? Get up and help me. And I can just see Mary going, this is some good stuff. I'm not going anywhere. Then you can see Martha taking it up another level and going, excuse me, Jesus, would you tell her to help me right now, please? And Jesus, I could just see him just dropping his head and going, Martha, Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. When we choose that one thing that is better, Jesus said, it will not be taken away from you. And that one thing is making sure that Jesus, that Christ is the center of this entire crazy thing we call Christmas. Because we can get busy doing holiday parties and going to small groups all the time or caroling. We get busy doing all of these crazy things. Going to relatives' homes that we don't even like, but we got to do it because we don't want to offend anybody. And going here and there, moving, doing all these crazy things. But one thing is needed, this one thing. Listen, we can't get away from being busy at Christmas. And I'm not up here trying to tell you not to be busy. But what I am trying to tell you this morning is choose the one thing that is needed. That one thing to keep Christ in the center of all this craziness. To keep Him in the center point. Where it's the true north, where everything else is swirling around you and Christmas carols kind of blot out with the real reason for the season, that we truly stop. Get your family together and read the Christmas story. Watch Rudolph, but hey, get down to the center of the whole thing, of what it's all about, and that is Jesus, this baby that was born in a manger. This Jesus where the world, even though He created the world and all the inhabitants, created the very people that rejected Him at the end, even though that He did all those things, still we had no room for Him. And this beautiful, wonderful thing happened that night. A Savior who is Christ the Lord was born. There was no trumpets, there were no kings around Him. Just animals and his mom and dad. Just some shivering shepherds who had heard and seen angels declaring that He was born, had come to check this thing out. And lo and behold, lying in a manger was a baby who is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He came so that all of us would know the truth, would know the Father, would have relationship with Him and put us in right relationship with the Lord. And so, this one thing that is needed is important. Now, let me ask you a question. We're going through this season and there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stress going on. And Stressed, Martha said, "Lord, do you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." I think Martha was expressing some kind of stress, don't you think? She was stressed out. She was doing what was right, what was needed, what was appropriate, what was she was supposed to do, but she had forgotten who was in her house. She had forgotten who she was preparing for, and she let the preparation supersede the person. You get what I'm saying this morning? Our preparations can supersede the person who is Jesus. She was rushing around trying to get everything done, and after all, Jesus was in her house, so her stress level was here, it was way up there. And stress can result from a lot of things, such as, and I got a list here, you ready? Anything that annoys us, right? Threatens us, excites us, scares us, worries us, hurries us, angers us, frustrates us, and challenges us. In other words, we can't get away from stress. It's part of our lives. Amen? We can't get away from stress. That's just the way it is. I can't. There's no person in this room that can say, "Pastor, I never stress," because that's baloney. Everybody stresses. Sometimes people perform well under stress. I'm one of them. I'm that way. When I was a contractor, a painting contractor, we had 4 and 5 jobs going on at the same time. And man, I was just good at multitasking and being under that kind of pressure. Some people don't like to handle that kind of, can't handle that kind of stress. So stress can either be a good or it can be a bad thing, right? And so when you think about, I got this rubber band here. I was thinking about the other day, as I was playing around or getting my sermon ready, I was playing with this rubber band, and I was thinking, man, this rubber band is under stress right now, right? And it's made to go back to its original form, which is just a rubber band. But one thing a rubber band is not supposed to do is to have constant pressure all the time. A rubber band is just a temporary fix for things, right? Just temporarily hold things on. But what happens is whenever it's completely stretched to the max all the time, it starts to dry out, doesn't it? It starts to get brittle. And then whenever there's a little bit of stress that adds to what it's already under, it seems to pop till it breaks. We had something go wrong with our vacuum cleaner the other day. And I was vacuuming the stairs, and all of a sudden there was smoke going everywhere, and it smelled up the whole house. And then I heard Dana, "What'd you do? What'd you do?" And so I was down there trying to figure out what's going on, and Dana comes up with a screwdriver and an extra belt, and she fixes the thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a real woman right there. You know what I'm saying? But she didn't ask any questions. She went up there with a screwdriver, you know, looked at me the entire time. She didn't even look. She was like, I'm standing there going, I don't know. I mean, who has an extra belt for your vacuum cleaner laying around the house? Well, of course you guys do. We mere mortals, we don't. So. But Dana happened to have an extra one, and she looked like a soldier who was taking apart a gun, you know, blindfolded. Done! But anyway, so I looked at the belt, and the belt was just completely fried right here. And it was completely melted, and it was done. Belts are not supposed to hold constant pressure all the time. And so whenever that does happen, things tend to break and fall apart. In our lives, we need to take a step back from our craziness, especially during these times, during Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, we're already past Thanksgiving and everything else. And doesn't it seem that Christmas is like coming way early this year? It just, I mean, I can still taste the turkey in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? So here we are with Christmas right upon us, and it can be very stressful to the point where we get like this rubber band, to the point where we just break. Well, we break and fall apart. Thank God that we have Jesus, who is the true north of our life, where we no longer have to give Him a formal invitation into our house. He dwells and lives within us. Amen. He doesn't need an invitation. He abides inside of us. And because of that, no matter where we go, whether it be in our car, whether it be on break at work, or whether it be in church, or in our homes, laying in our beds, wherever we are at, Christ is there with us. We no longer have to strive. We no longer have to prepare. We no longer have to get the decorations up in time, because Jesus is here. For believers, it's Christmas 24/7. Amen? Because we don't just celebrate His birth once a year. His birth defines our life. Amen? We don't need a tree to prove it. We don't need to send out 100 cards to prove it. We don't need to hang up 1,000 lights to prove it. All we need to do is the one thing that is needed, and that is to put Christ in the center of our life, to put Christ in the center of this holiday called Christmas. And when we do that, we'll begin to declutter our lives. We'll begin to, Christmas will take on a new meaning. It'll take on a wonderful meaning of beauty, of restoration, of hope and joy. Amen? So, I wouldn't be surprised here if there's actually some people that are dreading Christmas. I know, I remember, my mother and my father always made Christmas like the best thing ever. It was like going to Disney World. I mean, it was just awesome. They would do everything they possibly could to keep, you know, Santa Claus alive in my life, and it's just crazy. Some of the stories. I remember my first Christmas when I was I was 3-4 years old. My mom and my dad didn't have any money; they were poor, very poor. Grew up impoverished, and so one Christmas, when you're a child, you don't know you're rich or poor. You just know you're happy or sad. That's it. And so one Christmas morning, we heard a knock on the door, and there was a bunch of ladies that came in, and they had just fistfuls of presents. And they brought them in, and we sat down around the Christmas tree, and I thought, well, I guess this is the way Christmas is supposed to be. And so this one lady brought a white guitar to me. And it was this big, it wasn't a child-sized guitar. This was a full-grown, big guitar. And she goes, here you go, Jimmy. This is yours. Merry Christmas. And she gave me an adult hat and a wallet. And I sat there, and I loved that guitar. I had my hat on. I was looking for pictures to see if I could find it, and I couldn't find it. I was going to put it up on the screen. But my brother got a wooden horse, a rocking horse. He got a hat and a wallet. And so I'm sitting there, and my mom says I called that guitar my la-la. And I just played that la-la all day long. I wish I knew what happened to that la-la. I don't know why I can't play guitar, but I just can't. But my brother, he was on that horse, and he was rocking on that horse the entire time. And I was sitting there feeding my wallet to the horse. My mom took pictures. Anyway, so that's what I thought of Christmas. When you're a child, when you're that small, there's no stress in your life. There's no worry in your life. You don't know that you're poor. You don't know that you're rich. You don't know that your mom and dad are trying to figure out how to pay the rent or how to bring food into the house. You don't know any of that. And we should take note of a child. And even though that we're adults and we have responsibilities, we can de-stress our lives by focusing in on that one thing that matters. The thing that is best. The thing that... And see, as adults, we have an opportunity to define Christmas to our children. To define what it is that makes this season so great. The boys know that they get three gifts for Christmas from us. Now, aunts and uncles, I'm sure, you know, bring in other presents, but they know that they get three from us. And so they make sure when they write a list that whatever's on that list they really want, because we're picking from that list. Because Christmas isn't about what you don't get for Christmas. Christmas is about getting your family together, maybe having a meal together, sitting down and reading the Christmas story, keeping Jesus in the center of what this season is about. Amen? So I wouldn't be surprised because of the stress of the season that there would be people in here that just absolutely dread it. And I wouldn't be surprised either with the scattered thoughts and with all the pressure that some of you may be putting a to-do list together right now as I'm preaching the sermon. Because that's just how busy, crazy busy this season is. But Jesus said, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. She realized spending time with Jesus was the most important thing. We must never get so busy that we forget what Christmas is all about. And Christmas goes beyond cultures, doesn't it? Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Bible says that's all of humanity. And so it bridges cultural divides. It goes beyond culture. And it goes to the very heart of an individual. The heart of a community. The heart of a country. And the heart of nations. Jesus. The reason for what Christmas is all about. So Mary, she realized that spending time with Jesus was what was most important. And that's what we need to do as well. So how can we be calm in the midst of stress around us in this time of year? Number one, here's a good start. Cross out everything that takes away from the real meaning of Christmas. Cross it out. If it stresses you out, if it causes no joy, cross it out. Take it out. Declutter your Christmas season. If it stresses you out, you don't have to be the hostess for the mostest here, all right? You don't have to have the biggest parties. You don't have to hold the biggest events. You don't have to be the one that gives out the best presents. You don't have to do all of that. You don't have to be the most creative one. You don't have to be the one to cook everything. You don't have to be the one to host at your house every single year. You don't have to do it. Can I get an amen this morning? So, here's an idea. Lay out a plan. Some of you guys actually have a plan. What do I need a plan for, Pastor? We love chaos. That's part of our Christmas tradition. We don't want to take out pandemonium in our Christmas tradition. But what we need to do is to have a plan. Have a plan. Share the load, all right? Other family members can help, right? Other family members can cook too. Lighten the calendar and respect your budget. Can I get a witness on that? Respect your budget. Don't take 6-7 months to pay off Christmas. Determine how much you're going to spend before you spend. It's getting quiet up in here. Yeah. Pastor, it's already too late. It's done spent. Respect your budget. Have a predetermined amount. Dana and I, we talk about it before we spend a dollar. How much do we have to spend this year? And when we get to that point, we're done. We're done. Hey, you know what? When I was a kid, I hated socks and underwear. I like socks and underwear now. This is the way it is. My dad, he used to do that to me every single year. Socks and underwear. And then he'd pull out the good stuff. But he would always throw that socks and underwear out. And so, hey, nothing wrong with socks and underwear, kids. Right. So, put your most significant relationships first. Christ, your spouse, family, and friends. Don't neglect them for obligations, because you'll regret it for the rest of your life. If you have family members that are far away, there's a wonderful thing called Skype. Yep. it's great. I'm going to Skype with my mom and stepdad and probably Aaron Alexander and some friends like that back home. And we're going to say Merry Christmas to one another, semi-face-to-face, with a slight delay. But nonetheless, it's going to be great. And so your Christmas day does not need to be timed out to where you have no peace in there whatsoever. That's so jam full that you're stressed out and glad that the day's over with. Enjoy it. Wake up. Have breakfast with your family. If you don't have family, hook up with somebody. Call them up. Hey, what are you doing? You want to grab some breakfast? Have some dinner with a friend. Also, focus on those who are in need. Focus on somebody, on blessing somebody that has no way of paying you back. No way of paying you back what you can do for them. Focus on somebody that is in need. Focus on somebody that is hurting. Maybe invite them over for breakfast that morning. Maybe invite them over for dinner that afternoon or whatever it is. I know last year, Dana and I, you know, being our first Christmas here, having to kind of reinvent the wheel as far as what we're going to do on Christmas Day, we went to the movies with Johnny and his family. Had a great time. Well, it was The Hobbit. It was all right. But we had a good time. We got to know one another. We laughed and joked and had a good time. And that's part of it. So prioritize your life. Sometimes we go to parties with people that we don't even like. Stop going to those parties. Stop going to those parties. Focus. See that lady here on the screen right there? That's what we look like on Christmas, all right? So Christmas doesn't have to be the most stressful time of the year. We need to be more like Mary and focus on what is needed. Amen? Amen? On the night that Jesus was born, angels from heaven announced, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth, peace. Peace to men whom His favor rests." Don't let celebration of the most peace-filled night on earth slip by you. But find that peace in who Christ is. Find that peace and that rest in Him. I want you to listen to these words, this beautiful song. It's called Silent Night. I'm not going to sing it, by the way. But it says, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round young virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Let's all stand up this morning. During this time of year, I miss my dad like crazy because I'm used to going over to his little bitty apartment, and Dana usually sits down and he saves the paper, and she sits there and clips coupons that she never uses, really. She sits there while the kids play with the Atlanta Braves tomahawk thing that's a foam tomahawk thing that's been broken for years. They get bored, so they take out old boxes that Dad has, and they start building stuff with those boxes and takes out the foam pieces and starts beating each other with them. And then Dad calms them down, and he has this radio that has a wire that goes from his chair to across the room. And he takes that radio and he places it on the other side so the kids won't trip over the wire. And Dad will sit there and we'll talk, and I'll give him his present and he'll open it up and he'll give us normally little trinkets and toys for the kids, or as they got older it was money. And we would sit there and we'd enjoy each other's company without any stress, without any worries, without any kind of stress. And we would just enjoy one another. And it wasn't about the number of gifts that my dad was able to give, but it was about his love that he was able to give to his family. My dad could barely leave his apartment, but man, he could love us. Oh, I could just feel that now. His love loved us so much. It just filled the room. And I want to encourage you today that if you need to redefine what Christmas is in your life, you will never, ever regret it. Ever. Love your kids. Love your family. Put them first. Don't feel obligated to go anywhere. Don't feel obligated to send out 100 Christmas cards. We're not doing that this year. We're not giving out Christmas cards. It's just stressing me out. So we're just not doing it. We're decluttering our Christmas so that we can enjoy it. So that we can enjoy it. It's been below zero forever here. And I haven't put up Christmas lights. And Dana's bought Christmas lights. And I told her, I said, it's below zero. There's no way I'm going out there. And so it stresses me out. I've got my hand up already. All right? And so this year, spend your time with your family. Don't measure your Christmas's success on by the amount of presents that you're able to give. But measure your success by the amount of love that you're able to give your family this year. That you're able to spend with them quality time. Getting back to what the focus of this season is all about, and that's Jesus. Don't be like Martha. Don't be running to and fro. And when she did finally address Jesus, she was irritated and upset when she did it. Jesus just looked at her and said, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen this good thing. And because of it, it'll never be taken away from her. That peace and that rest, that joy can be yours and it can be never taken away from you. Enjoy your time this year. Enjoy your time with family. Don't get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of what is Christmas, but enjoy the season. Enjoy one another so that Christ may be built up and manifested in your life. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I come before you today and I thank you so much that you, in your infinite wisdom and your infinite, infinite love toward us, you sent your Son into this world. Your word declares that you demonstrated your love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You still sent him this wonderful gift called Jesus. And I pray, Father, for those today that are hurting during this Christmas season. I pray, Father, that you would fill their hearts up with love, God, with your peace. And Father, I pray, Lord, that there would be peace in the homes this Christmas. I pray, Lord, that you would cause each and every one of us to refocus, to put our focus back on that one thing that is needed, that one thing that will never be taken away, who is Christ the Lord. Father, I love you so much, and I thank you, Lord, for the power and the wonder and the magic that is Christmas. That you sent your Son and you announced it with angels. You didn't announce it to kings. You didn't announce it to dignitaries. You announced it to shepherds in a field. And they came and they saw this little babe lying in a manger. This little child that is going to save us all from our sin and give us peace. And so, Lord, I thank you for peace. Lord, I pray that you would just be the center of our Christmas this year and for years to come. Lord, may you be glorified. May you be lifted up. May stress subside as we prioritize this crazy thing called Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Guys, I love you. I wish you the best, and I pray that that you wrap up all the Christmas stuff and that you have a happy and joyful Christmas. Amen. Let me just say one more time before we leave. Don't forget, if you need any of those are right out there. Let's pack this thing out this coming Sunday. Bring your family, bring your relatives, bring your friends. Let's have an awesome, awesome Christmas candlelight service. Amen? Yeah. All right, God bless you guys.